No noise. No noise at all. That's what we do. Welcome to the Noise Cancelling Podcast, because I gave you some noise cancelling right there and then. But before we get into what's going to happen today, let's meet the team.
I'm Sherielle Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm James Peckham, Phones Editor for Tech Radar.
I'm Gareth T. Beavis. I'm adding a new initial to myself. I'm Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar.
And I'm Chris Bowcliffe, and I'm one of those YouTube twats that everyone hates.
Straight away coming in. So this is the Noise Cancelling Podcast, where we've got voices from all over the Future Publishing Network. We've got Laptop Mag, we have Tom's Guide sometimes, me and James from Tech Radar. But this week, we have our very first special guest in the shape of Chris Bowcliffe, the self-affirmation twat.
Yes, hello, Gareth. A pleasure to be on here. Thank you for having me.
Tell me about your life desires and dreams.
All of it in a nutshell. Okay. So basically, I did actually used to be a Future boy back in the day. That was my first big break into the whole tech journalism.
Genuinely had forgotten that. I'm sorry, Chris.
Yeah, I did actually just sit next to you and have lunch with you and all that. You were like my idol, but whatever, man. And then decided basically over the course of the next decade or so that I just didn't want to really do work anymore. I just wanted to dick around in my living room and make little videos and get money that way. And it seems to have worked out right. Thank God for YouTube. So I run a channel called TechSpert, which you can go and see lovely videos on shiny gadgets. And yeah, that's it. My hopes, dreams, and aspirations right now are just to go to a pub and have a beer with people, to be honest.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can you spell TechSpert, please?
I can. So it is tech, as in tech, T-E-C-H, and then spurt, as in spurt, S-P-U-R-T. A spurt of tech.
Yeah, I mean, did you? I've always wanted to ask you, like, did you intend it to be so graphic as a title?
Well, Gareth, if I would hope that you would know me by now, except you can't even remember I friggin' used to work with you back in the day. I'm Northern. I've got pretty low denominator humour. Anything to do with dick jokes and spunk and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm straight on it, basically.
I'll tell you why I forgot is genuinely because I felt you came to prominence when you were working in the mobile industry as in a variety of prominent positions, and you were quite the rival in there. So that's why I remember mostly.
Yes, yeah. I don't think mobilechoice.com ever got quite as big as Tech Radar, but it's good you saw me as a true rival back in the day.
Yeah, you can't see me dusty off my shoulders. Yeah, it's true. But that leads us nicely into phones. I don't know, have there ever been any phones launched this week, James? Anything?
It's all we've been doing. It's back to phones again for some reason. Yeah, we've seen a new iPhone, which just came from nowhere, really. Just on a random Wednesday, we just managed to see the new iPhone SE, which is the phone we've been writing about for months, really.
Years.
Years to be fair. The iPhone SE 2, essentially. The last one was in 2016, and this is the latest affordable iPhone, affordable in quotation marks there. We're talking $400, £420 for this new device, but it's far cheaper than the iPhone 11 series, for example. You may have heard this rumored as the iPhone 9, but they've gone back to the iPhone SE name, and it's a similar sort of design to the iPhone 8 from a couple of years ago. So you've still got a Touch ID fingerprint scanner, you've still got a 4.7-inch screen, but you've also got a lot of the internals from the iPhone 11 series and a few of those upgraded features as well. So essentially, this is the phone to get if you're looking for a cheaper iPhone or if you just want that smaller display.
Yeah, I mean, we can't call it the cheap iPhone because it's not, but you said it's like it's got a similar design to the iPhone 8. It is the same design as the iPhone 8 because what they've done is taken the iPhone 8, chucked in a different chipset, a different engine under there, and made it more powerful. And in doing so, not even really upgraded the camera that much externally in terms of hardware, but they have made it so it can ideally, we haven't tried it yet, but ideally can take a lot better pictures because it's got the neural engine, it's got much better image processing. And if you can get, let's not forget, for $399, which is the same price as 4 years ago, that makes it the cheapest iPhone ever because, you know, with inflation, it would be $430 for the original one. So this is actually quite impressive for Apple, if it works, of course. Cherie, what's your takeover in the States?
I am a fan of big-ass phones, so this is not my cup of tea. Like, I have freakishly long thumbs, so the bigger the phone, next time you come over, once we're out of the darkest timeline, the rule is if my thumb can reach across it, it's not too big. So this, it, like, I have those bony piano fingers and they're long. So, like, this type of phone, I just envelop it in my just long grip and I just don't like it.
So what happened about, what, 8 years ago? What were you doing? Just, like, crushing phones or, like, just slipping out your hand?
I didn't know any better then. I actually, when I first switched over to smartphones, my first smartphone was the Palm Pre.
I love the Palm Pre.
Yeah, because before that, I was just a Palm Stan. Then my first smartphone, like Android phone, was the Evo, the HTC Evo.
I mean, this is completely off topic. We're supposed to talk about the iPhone, but the Palm Pre, that was launched at CES in Vegas. And it was the first year I went, whether it was 2009, it would have been. Yeah. And it was the first time I've been, I won't lie to you, I was so hungover and I went to the Palm press conference.
Yeah, that sounds about right. SES. Yeah.
Yeah. And I should go thinking, yeah, it's a really good idea. And I got there and they just launched essentially the biggest rival to the iPhone for the last year. And the dismay and sadness that coursed through me when that happened, because I was like, I had all these vitamin drinks just holding onto them as hard as I could. And then to have to do like a whole day's worth of work and interviews and features, and I was like, it was so hard.
And you've learned from that mistake.
You lightweight.
Yeah.
Lightweight. You would never survive with me at CES.
No, but we're English, so it's fine. Anyway, back to the iPhone. So yeah, I think it's an interesting one in the fact that it's a lot cheaper. And if the camera is good, I think we're on for a hit in our hands. But Chris, as I said, as mobile phone royalty, what's your thought from the higher portions of England?
So basically, I mean, like, the iPhone SE, the original one, was probably the last iPhone I really truly enjoyed. I thought it was Apple finally doing something that the everyday person can afford. It's great that you got the good hardware in there, the latest software and everything, but in a compact form factor as well, because I'm the opposite of Cherie. I've got stubby little troll fingers. I can't hack all these 7-inch tablet phone things. So the idea of a compact phone just fills me with delight. And even though it's obviously fairly chunky bezels and stuff, the fact that it's got that dinky display means it's going to be nice and easy to use one-handed. I guess a lot of it rides on how good the camera is, because obviously, as you say, it's potentially sort of all tech, nowhere near as good as the iPhone 11. And obviously a lot of Android phones around that sort of price point for the flexibility of telephoto lenses and all kinds of stuff these days. So I'd be interested to see how the camera turns out. The battery life as well, of course, if that's going to be sort of just about scraping a day, then that could be an issue. But it'll be especially interesting now to see what Google comes out with the Pixel 4a, hopefully in a month or so, to see if they can really sort of rival that. I don't think it'll be a player with performance-wise to compete with the new iPhone. But certainly in terms of the camera tech, the fact they'll probably have a nice full HD OLED display, things like that. So I think it'll be a different proposition, but also very strong competition. And a lot of it's going to come down to, do you want iOS or Android, isn't it? So
yeah, and the 3A was like an absolute game changer there for Pixel, really, like for Google in that way. So if that sort of, in a way, feels like why we're getting another iPhone at this kind of, like, after that 4 years, I think that 3A really made people like pay attention. And that phone for $400, whatever it launched at, the 4A is going to be the main competition here, I think.
Yeah, because I had the same beef with Google as I did with Apple. I'm like, why, you know, £1,000 flagship phone, it's just nuts, especially in this day when you can get a perfectly good phone half the price, just as good. You don't have to take the pliers to Grant's teeth and get out a Goldies at the back or anything like that. It's all good.
But I mean, I often wonder, like I said, people talk about Apple reacting to stuff, and obviously any brand will look at market trends, but I sort of feel like the 4 year cycle, it's like the people that would have bought the 2016 iPhone SE would be those that were just like, I really want an iPhone. I don't want to spend a lot of money. What can you get me? And I know three relatives that have bought it just for that very reason. And I feel like is 4 years that kind of the cycle where they're now holding on. They're like, look, I do need something new now. What's out there? And has Apple gone, well, this is the time to launch it? Because as we said earlier, we've been talking about the iPhone SE 2 for genuinely years. Yeah, it's amazing. So
yeah, I think there'll be a lot of iPhone 6 users. I mean, let's face it, there's loads of them still out there. They've all got smashed in screens. They're all clinging on for dear life. And those poor owners just like, I really want a new iPhone, but I can't afford it. And this will be their ability to have a unsmashed iPhone for at least a month or two until once again goes face down on the concrete. And that's that.
And obviously, one of the things we talked about was the power of Apple using its own A13 chipset inside, a powerful engine indeed. And Cherie, obviously, Laptop Mag's been covering the new Google possibly making its own chipsets for Chromebooks and Pixel phones.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess Google is tired of relying on everyone else to make its chips. Understandable. Apple is making its own chips. Samsung's been making its own chips. And for a while, Samsung was making everyone else's chips. So Google is now like, well, bump it. We're going to do it too. And they're talking about putting it into, reportedly, developing its own processor that's going to be used in both Pixel phones and Chromebooks, which, like, if it's going to be in Chromebooks, I'm already, like, phones, yes. Pixel books, no. I don't want that. That makes me think of ARM. It makes me think of Qualcomm. And while Qualcomm does give you long battery life, the performance on it is just meh.
That's the official verdict of editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag there. <It's>, That would have been better if I could have got those words out quicker. Yeah, you're right. I think all the different brands trying to make their own stuff and make it all vertically integrated is really good for the consumer, though. Any brand that's trying to just be more involved in the process, I think if it works, I mean, I'm sure lots of other chip manufacturers disagree, but if it works, it can be a really powerful thing and help battery life and all those kinds of things. I'm trying to think of a smart way to segue this. I can't. So PS5. So I wanted to try something here. We've seen this week a couple of renders for what the new PS5 could come up with. We've talked about the PS5 controller at length last week. Mm. It was a design departure for what, you know, the controller could be. And a few people have decided, well, we know what the new PS5 might look like based on that, including TechRail's own design team. So I think we should try and describe to the listeners what we're looking at. So, Chris, would you want to tell us what you can see in the joint running order? What are you looking at there?
Well, I mean, I've got to admit, my first thoughts upon seeing that was it looks just like the old Nintendo Wii Fit slab that you stand really on and,
yes.
and yeah. jiggle, okay. up, jiggle yeah. up and down. That's basically okay. what it looks
and we're
like.
Done. Which
that's actually very accurate.
If it doubles up as an exercise pad, then that's brilliant. Yeah. Two for one.
Imagine if it did, and like people were just like 6 months in, they're all broken.
just smashed to shit. So it's a really good idea. Sony should get on that, definitely.
Yeah, but so it's obviously, yeah, it's basically a very good example. It's like a big flat white slab with two neon light lines running sort of vertically down the middle with a PS5 logo in the center of it. And the front has got like a two-tone black and white identity there. So it's sort of like, I'm losing the ability to describe things. So like the front is white with like a thin bit of black and it goes up to a bigger bit of black. I've urged you to go to TechRadar.
Just look at the picture.
Save you from this. Yeah, I thought this would work. I'll be honest, it hasn't.
That's the whole point of this bit, isn't it? Just to get people to take radar.
It kind of looks like an Alienware, like when Alienware... Remember when they were making the Alpha, that console-looking thing?
Yeah.
That's what this looks like, but it's in their new design language. So it's sleek. I like the white. I like the blue. It's a little long for my taste. If this,
you could wrap your hands around it. It's fine.
I mean, yes, but like for if this is going to live in a living room, you got to think about if someone's using an entertainment system or if they've stowed it somewhere on a shelf. Like if it's as long as this rendering is, it might have a little bit of problems fitting in nicely where the PS4, 3, and 2 fit in. So, but it is a sleek looking design. It looks futuristic and I'm here for it if it looks something like that. Anything's better than that V-shaped monstrosity that they were showing off for the early dev, even though I did appreciate all that venting, but this is a nicer, sleeker presentation.
I mean, yeah, obviously I think anyone that thought that the dev kit was anything close to reality is basically crackers, because it's a dev kit. The whole point is to be deceptive and disguise it and make it not look the same thing, like Formula One teams that run different liveries during the preseason to sort of hide what the cars look like. If Sony had put out the actual design, it wouldn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Well, right. Well, let's go for the break, I think, and we'll come back just after this. Right, so when it's time to get hiring, one of the most important things is finding the right person. And we both know that's a challenge, Sheree. I don't know about you, but it's so hard pouring through CVs and finding the right candidate. It's really tough, especially when, you know, like us, I've got James, we've got smaller, close-knit teams, right?
Absolutely. Like, it's so important to find that person that's going to fit into the team dynamic and be able to produce clean copy and get the work done in a reasonable fashion.
Well, good news. That's where LinkedIn can help. So what LinkedIn does is they match the role with the people that have the right skill set. They cut out a lot of the legwork, which is something we really want to do, and helping people just focus on what matters, you know. So it's one of those nice things where it's neat how the jobs can be sent to those looking for a new role over email, or you can see similar ones next to the ones that you're looking at. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I love finding something that I've spotted for myself. I might have clicked on something, but seeing something to the left and going, that's more like it, that makes me happy.
Like, LinkedIn takes so much guesswork out of the actual, like, calling process and, like, oh, well, that person has that skill set. Like, let me call them in. And they look like they have a trustworthy face.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, it's getting it in front of the right people. And I think LinkedIn's got 675 million users, which is a fair old whack. So, and if having that screen the candidates, putting the job in front of the right qualified people, that's why I think LinkedIn's rated number one as a hiring platform by so many companies if they're delivering, you know, those really good hires that you need. But the good news is, if you want to find the right person for your business with LinkedIn Jobs, you can pay what you want and get the first $50 off. All you have to do is visit linkedin.com/noise. Again, that's linkedin.com/noise to get $50 off your first job post. And terms and conditions apply, but that's just one more time, linkedin.com/noise. That's from us here at the Noise Cancelling Podcast, $50 off. Cherie, where are we? Where are we going now? You tell us via the medium of song.
We're going to reviews. Join us in our labs. Laptops, smartphones, tablets. It's all here and more. Welcome to reviews.
Chris, carry on the song.
Oh, God, I forgot you do this to the bloody guest every week. I think you know I do not sing before I've had at least 10 sarkies, as you'll testify, if you remember it, of course, when we did a bit of karaoke on that Sony trip in good old Tokyo.
Oh, that was good.
Doing a beautiful bit of duetting to Linkin Park, I think it was.
Don't remember.
Among many others. Yeah, no. At least you've got an excuse for not remembering this time, you git.
What in God's name is a sarky? Someone tell me.
Sorry, sake. So a Japanese rice wine, but just pronounced to northern. So.
Oh, yeah. Sake.
Sake. Oh. That's the bad boy. We had several sakes on top of several beers. That was good times. Little behind the scenes Tekuidon nugget there for you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. Just flashing back right now.
All of the flashbacks. Vietnam style.
So, obviously, I'm slightly annoyed that Chris didn't sing, but also really happy that he's listened to the podcast. So I'm quite conflicted about that. We've actually had some good reviews this week as well. I'm going to start not necessarily with the phone, although the OnePlus 8 is probably the big news in the review sphere. But on laptop mag, Cherie, we've had the Anchor Soundcore Liberty Air 2 review. Did you try them out with someone else on your team?
Someone else reviewed them, but I do have a pair in the house. They're good. Are they AirPod Pro level? No. But for the money, they're a reasonable facsimile. And what I like about them are these special features. So it actually has a feature where it tests your hearing and customizes the audio profile depending on your age and what, like, if you've been concert hopping for 20 some odd years and have blown out a portion of your hearing, it allots for that and makes a custom sound so you can hear the music better, which I do appreciate. It is a technology that a lot of wireless buds and headphones period have started to incorporate into their companion apps, which, because everybody doesn't have the same ears, everyone doesn't have the same hearing. And so it's a really handy feature to make sure that the buds or the headphones are taking advantage of what you're naturally working with and giving you the sound in a way that you can appreciate.
Yeah, and I feel like I like the idea of the headphones that assess your hearing, can work out what's actually good, you know, and give you that little bit better, crisper sound. And I feel like the amount of people that are spending a lot of money on high-end headphones, it makes sense because you do get some good performance. And if you're an iPhone user, using Powerbeats Pro or AirPods, etc., is always a really nice experience just because you open it up, it works, although the Powerbeats don't always work. It's quite annoying. But be able to spend a lot less. And I feel like Anchor is one of those brands that's up and coming, you know, it's sort of coming now, really, isn't it? It's had the up.
Quiet as it's kept, Anchor makes a lot of quality products that span a breadth of industry. So you've got their audio division, you've got their chargers, which I love a good anchor charger. They're massive, and I typically have 2 to 3 because when we're on travel, someone's always like, I forget my charger, or my laptop's about to die, or my phone, and then I like, here's a charger, like, just get out my face. Like,
do you know these people, or are you just getting through a lot of charges?
I know these people. Like, it just happens every year, especially with CES. I'm carrying around like 20 pounds of kit because I know someone's going to forget a charger. Someone's not going to have a charging cable. I typically even carry an extra laptop because one year a laptop just broke, just died during CES.
I really hoped you were going to say that one year one of Laptop Mag just didn't bring a laptop.
No, that has not happened yet, but we have snapped a camera lens off of a DSLR. So we,
what, in anger?
No!
just showing brute strength on a night out, like, yeah, look at me.
Well, they said no, but I mean, it was during Showstopper, so who knew?
Oh, Jesus, yeah, no, yeah. You'd have to be on all the tequila to get through one of those shows. He probably just was like,
I love those shows.
They have really good massage chairs every year. You can go and have a little lie down and get the machine to really heavily rub you.
You can have a tea Maria and a massage and then just cry about how awful everything is.
You don't have to have that in CES, you can do it anywhere.
This is true. I managed to leave my laptop on a plane as I was getting off to attend a show once. It was good old IFA. So I then had to work on a tablet, which the Sony PRs very kindly provided me for the entire trip.
I remember that.
So on that trip. I think I was your first one with me. That was balls. So yeah, spare laptops is actually a good shout. I'll have to try doing that in the future.
So let's move on to the big review of the week, I feel, the OnePlus 8 and 8 Pro. Chris, have you tried these yet? Or
yes, I have. Yeah, I've got both of them sat here in front of me, yeah.
All right, show off.
Yeah, that's just how I roll, man.
And thoughts? What are your thoughts?
So, yeah, so...
Which is better?
OnePlus 8 and OnePlus 12. Well, the Pro is technically the better, I guess, if you're going purely off specs and features and things. It brings in some of the stuff that some of the hardcore, more demanding fans have been banging on about for ages. So you got the wireless charging now. You got the IP rating for the water resistance, all that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, it is now also crazy expensive. It's getting to £800, so it's just as expensive as the Samsungs and getting into the Apple region and all that. The standard OnePlus 8, it's packs most of the best features, though. You've still got the Snapdragon 865 chipset in there, plenty of RAM, CDR4. You've still got 5G support, things like that. It's just like the camera tech isn't quite as good. And again, that price is creeping up. It's now £600, probably, I guess, because it's got the 865 and that 5G modem stuffed in there as well. So now it's getting to the point where OnePlus used to be the brand you'd go to for premium tech at the sort of £400 to £500 price point, and it's no longer that. Now it's definitely pushing up into the realms of the Uber flagships. So it'll be interesting to see what happens from now on. I reckon the likes of Oppo and Realme and Xiaomi are probably licking their lips and thinking they'll get stuck in there with some proper good £500 flagships and sort of steal a bit of their space.
But James, if you sort of lay the range onto the top of, say, a Samsung, the Galaxy S20 would surely be the equivalent of the OnePlus 8, and then the OnePlus 8 Pro is the Plus or the Ultra, right?
Yeah, essentially. But if you're going for a Galaxy S20, that's far more expensive than what the 8 is. As Chris says, like, there's a few things that you're missing here. It's not as smooth as getting like a Samsung Galaxy S20 experience, and you're going to miss out on a few little things, like the camera's a little bit not as strong. But they're not as cheap as they used to be in OnePlus, but it's still that noticeably, you're still saving £100, £200, the equivalent of maybe even $300, depending on what you're going for. So we really like both these phones. We gave 4.5 stars to both of them. The Pro, like as Chris said, like they've come out the gate and just said, look, we're just going to fix everything that you had a problem with and just make a full-blown flagship phone, which OnePlus hasn't always done before. They've always been this whole flagship killer, that kind of thing, where they're trying to go for that lower price. Now they've just gone, look, this is our top-end device. It's got everything you could possibly want. And then go for the 8 if you just want it a little bit cheaper.
Why do you think they haven't brought out like an SE rival? Because they could do that, right? Surely.
There were rumours of that as well. There was the OnePlus 8 Lite, but then there was just no mention of it during the launch event. So that could be something we hear about later on the line. That could be something that's just for other markets, maybe. Might be just something coming to China. But so far, we've not heard of anything like that. I think it would make sense for OnePlus to do another device like that. They did the OnePlus X very early in their days, where they had
that
a cheaper
was rubbish.
Phone.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah,
yeah, compared to their flagships, which were their flagships, which are cheaper and still better. So yeah, maybe that's the kind of strategy they go for soon. But they seem to be focusing on these two devices for the moment.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember the OnePlus X. It was made of ceramic. Mm. It had a ceramic frame, which was really lovely to hold, but it was like a 5-year-old chipset or 3-year-old or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if you're not, especially if you're even in iPhones, which have probably got the longest, kind of refresh cycles in terms of getting the updates, even those, that would be quite a long time. But for an Android phone, that's aeons.
Yeah.
It's just, as soon as it happened, it was like, nah, that's not the right way to go, is it?
It felt like an experiment, that phone, and then you just never saw anything more from it. And yeah, maybe it's time to now come back to that. Well, as Chris says, there's a lot of other Chinese manufacturers going for cheaper price points than this. So maybe this is the time OnePlus will start doing that.
And Cherie, could this tempt you away from the Note range, or does it need a big stick?
No, I'm pretty much welded into the Samsung Note ecosystem. I use that pen an inordinate amount of times that, like, I didn't even expect it when I first started review. Back when I used to review smartphones, I got my hands on a Note. I was already a fan because it was huge. And then there was this pen, and I used the pen a lot. And so, no, I have an S10 here. I have an iPhone, XS Max. I have a couple of Pixel phones, and I could switch from my Note 8. I'm trying to hold out for the Note, what is it going to be? The Note S20 or whatever,
yeah,
they're going to call it. I'm trying to hold out for that. I could have been switched over, but I am really deeply invested into that pen. So unfortunately, no, I am not going to jump ship to OnePlus. Also, are we living in a day and age where Apple undercutting someone's shine is not new. Like, oh, you're going to drop a phone? Oh, you're going to drop a laptop? Ah, Apple. But we're living in a timeline where Apple undercut price-wise another phone, which is just, I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it would be quite cool, I suppose, to have the OnePlus 8 Lite in. Or maybe that's why. Maybe direct competition was not what they wanted and it could make more sense to bring it out later. Like, it would be smart if you're OnePlus 8 is now a big brand, I'd argue, but even still, taking on Apple in a fight is probably not the smartest idea. So I don't know, maybe it makes sense to pull it and keep it separate, or it's just made up. Either way, who knows? Right, we do have to move on. But first of all, the thing that we promised a while is the tech support showdown from Cherie. And you've got some information. Give us a quick update and a quick overview. Quick is the word.
Oh my God, we finished it. It's out of my hair. Oh my God. Oh, it feels good. Oh my God. It's so, I cannot tell you. I'm so glad that it's live. And we have a new king in town, because for the last 10 some odd years that I've been doing it, Apple has reigned supreme. And this year it's finally happened. Someone has knocked Apple off of its highfalutin throne, and it's the most unlikeliest contender, Razer. Razer will give you the best tech support for a laptop out of all the major vendors. So shocking, but they have been the comeback kids since 2018 when I was testing them, and I went to call their call center, and basically what happened is they were in the midst of switching call centers, but did not put that on a website, did not let consumers know. So when I happened to call in, I would basically be on hold for about 29 minutes, and then it would just disconnect, and I'd have to start all over again. But now they are so dedicated to the tech support. They didn't give one answer incorrect. They're timely, they're polite, they're knowledgeable. The web proponent of their site is been streamlined. They even keep track of when you called in for tech support, what the problem was there a resolution? The social media is on point. Like, they have totally made this 180. It's wonderful to see, and it's even better that they just kicked Apple off the pedestal. There was just a joy. It was like I had Grinch heart, and my heart grew like 3 sizes that day. It was magical.
And obviously, I'll do what most people do, go right to the bottom. What did Acer do so wrong?
Oh, So basically how tech support works is we go undercover, we create fake profiles online and all of that, and we reach out and we act like newbies. Like, oh, and like, so basically a call, if I were to call in, I'd be like, excuse me, can you help me? My nephew just got me this new computer. I'm not really savvy, and I'm trying to figure out how to adjust the base level. It's just really, like, I just need help. And they'll sit there and try to walk me through. And the answer is typically, like, the way it works is we ask you have a choice of three questions. And over the course of the testing, you ask the three questions. Two of the questions are related to the brand software, and one is a window-based question. So this year, the Windows-based question was, how do I get the new Edge browser? And for Acer, I'd have to look up Acer's questions because I can't remember off the top of my head, yeah. But I'm pretty sure one was an audio question, and how do I get to blue light? Like, how do I get the blue light filter? And I will tell you, most of the time, like, every brand except for Razer this year, call centers, social media folks, the web, they do not know their own software. That is where we always trip these guys up, everyone. And Acer just bombed it this year, which is good for MSI, because typically MSI is the one in last place. So good on y'all.
Can you do the voice again?
Like, my nephew, he got me this Alienware, and I mean, yes, I game, but the lights are a little distracting. Could you help me turn off the lights? You're so nice. And like, they're used to, in earlier years, we would try to find out where they were calling from. And so one year somebody had like this real deep Southern accent. I'm like, oh my God, sweetie, you just sound like home. You sound like black eyed peas and cabbage.
I really want to believe that the guys at Razer were like, you phoned up and they're like, guys, it's her. Get him on the line. She's here. And I love the idea of someone who sounds ostensibly like a grandmother. She's like, yeah, game.
Solitaire.
Like, I tend to do a little younger, and it's like, oh well, you know, my nephew got me this. Like, I'm just wanting to play a little bit of Overwatch. Just help me out. Like, I know it's a newbie question. Just help. And there are different characters depending on the laptop and depending on the brand. But it's a fun time.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that we finally found out the results. I feel like I've been on tenterhooks for weeks.
So next up, we're going to be kicking off best and worst brands sooner than later. I wish it was later, but we are going to be kicking that off soon. So stay tuned for that.
Anyway, well, I think we've done well there. I think we covered a whole breadth of stuff. I'm proud of you guys. Well done. Should we take a break?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it. We'll be back just after this. There's no this.
Imagine the this. I was just going to go away and crack open a tinny or something. Are we straight back on it again? Are we?
Right, we're back here again, and you're going to hear some more singing from Chris.
Oh,
go on,
Jesus.
Chris.
Really? Okay, I could do it metalcore style if you want, if that works.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
Okay, so popular opinions, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Unpopular opinions, I'm an abomination. Blah!
Beautiful.
Oh, that was dope. That was dope. I love that.
Sorry, Cherie, you're not back next week.
Dude, that was awesome.
Thank you.
God. Okay. I mean, usually Cherie tells us how we should let the hate unfurl. I've got
hate.
It's all gone out of me. So I'll open it up to you guys first. Has anyone got anything they wanted to bring off, get off their chest this week? Anything they've been struggling with at all? Or you're feeling like it's been a pretty good week?
Are y'all about done with all the Zoom and house party and like and Google Meets and I'm just cycling through at this point. It's just like my job is spending at least 8 hours in front of a screen, and now just to see my mama or whoever I want to talk to, I've got to be on the screen. Like it's really taking over my life, and it's like, I don't know. I think I'm reaching burnout. I, I just don't know.
I mean, I've had to go worse than that. I've had to go like, I've had to be an expert in like every single online video platform to help my family. Like, I've got my nan on Skype. Then my auntie wanted to do a family quiz over Google Hangouts rather than, and I was like, well, what, can't we use Google Meet? And I found that Google Meet was Enterprise. Like, that's no use. So I was like, oh. So then trying to figure out how to get my nan on Google Hangouts and tell my mum how to do it and then walk people through it. I now know the exact phrasing for every single button on every single bit. Like, you press this, and then you do this, and you go here.
Yeah. It's even worse when you're doing like social Zoom with like a beer, just sat in a room by yourself in the dark, cracking up in a tinny. You've lost track of like what time of day it is, what day it is, even month, everything. It just literally feels like you're sat there trying to work, drinking a beer, having a weird Skype chat. It's just bizarre, man.
Yeah, because I did that last night. I was on Zoom with my two besties, and I'm not going to say that I drank half a bottle of Michter's, but I'm also not going to say I didn't do that.
What is Michter's? This is new on me.
Michter's is one of my favorite bourbons. I am a brown liquor girl.
Okay, nice.
But I will do a gin in the summer, and a tequila's always good. But vodka's off limits. I'm not in the mood for those hangovers anymore. I'm not a young woman anymore. I'm a woman. I'm supposedly a woman of a certain age.
Such a boozy episode.
But yeah, so I might have drank half a bottle of bourbon. I might have put it with some spicy maple syrup from Vermont and some chili bitters. I might have done that.
I mean, I'm intrigued as to, I mean, like, this is taking a turn to like what Sherry's been drinking. No one asked, but you know, thanks for thanks for taking us down the full rabbit hole of what needs to be there. Pexy, what have you been video chatting on, and have you managed it?
Yeah, I've again, like you, I've been using loads of different services. We don't use Zoom for work, so the first time ever on Zoom happened a couple of weeks ago. I've got two video chats tonight because people scheduled them in at the same time, and they basically said, well, you're not doing anything else, are you? And I'm like, well, yeah, I am. I'm literally doing a Zoom chat at the exact same time. So I've got to jump around on those as well.
Are you doing them both at the same time?
No, I'm going to, like, I'm on one for half an hour and then moving on to the one that I actually, like, another one that I'm going to do later.
I thought, for two things there. First of all, it sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire, and I wish that was going to be happening. And secondly, you clearly nearly said the one I actually want to go on.
with this quarantine, people are just getting very, very demanding with your time. Like, where are you going?
Definitely.
Where are you going to be? You don't know my life. Maybe I just want to disconnect. Maybe I just want to take a bath and just forget that we're in the darkest timeline. Maybe I need the refill. I don't know. But you don't know is the more importantly. Don't tell me, like, well, where are you going? It's not like you got somewhere else to be.
On that note, Chris, thank you very much for joining us this week. It's been lovely to have our first special guest. I mean, the other two, they haven't confirmed.
It's awesome. And we got a metalcore version of popular pitch. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I love it.
Feel free to obviously use that every week. It'll be my special little contribution to the podcast.
It depends if one of the producers can actually cut it out, because I'm not doing it.
Fair play.
So, Chris, you obviously told us where we can find you on YouTube. Anywhere else that you want to plug?
Yeah, if you're on the Twitters, I'm at Techspert Video on there. I'm not on Instagram because I just hate Instagram. I can't get it. Yeah, but for the things we hate, Instagram for me, probably. There you go. Boom.
Pexy, give us your deets.
I'm at JamesRWP on Twitter.
And Cherie, I think you'd like to tell us.
Yes. You can find me at MissSmith11, MISSmith11, on Twitter, Instagram, not Facebook. You don't want to find me on Facebook. It's just, like, I just turned it into a news feed. It's wild. And also, read Laptop Mag. Like, read it all the time. Make it the only tech site you read. Like, I love my sister sites, but this, like, us. Us.
Yeah, true. But I mean, do you tell people how they can play Cards Against Humanity online? Because we do. And people like reading that.
I mean, I would love to. Like, that part of my persona, I save for Tom's Guide, where I write about bidets and other things that suit my fancy.
But obviously, yeah, please do go to techradar.com. Otherwise, this whole exercise has been a problem for me and I'll get in a lot of trouble. So please do visit there. but thank you, everyone. I've been Gareth Beavis. I'm pointing to the whole camera and I'm going to see who goes first.
I'm Cherie L. Smith. I was very confused at what was going on. I'm Cherie L. Smith.
I'm James Beckham.
And I'm Chris Barraclough.
That worked really well. Thanks very much. It just leaves me to say, this is obviously the Noise Cancelling Podcast. We're part of the Audio Boom Original Network. Please check out a lot of other lovely, good podcasts in the same way. We have one of our sister sites, Live Science, with Life's Little Mysteries. That's a good one to check out. But of course, please like what we do. Subscribe to us. Give us 5 stars on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Goodbye.